Ramban in the beginning, in the beginning of last week's parsha, yesterday's parsha, parsha's Vayechi, the Ramban discusses how going down to Mitzrayim, Yaakov's descent to Mitzrayim, and ultimately Yaakov coming out of Mitzrayim to be buried in Eretz Yisrael, was a Maisa Avo Simon Labanim. It was a sign of what the future galus of the Jews in Egypt, the galus of nowadays, the galus, the exile of the Roman exile that we find ourselves in today, what it's going to be like. And he goes through six different examples. For example, the first is, why did the Jewish people go down to Mitzrayim originally in the times of Yaakov Avinu? He says it was the brothers' fault, right? The Jewish people themselves caused the issues with Yosef that they had to end up down in Mitzrayim. And he says the same thing was ultimately in the exile that we find ourselves in today. Same thing, we caused it for ourselves that ultimately we will have to be in exile, we get kicked out, the Beis HaMikdash be destroyed, kicked out of Eretz Yisrael, and we find ourselves where we are today. He says that they went down because of a famine. He points out, the Gemara in Gittin says that the reason the Romans were able to take us over was because of a famine in the times of the second Beis HaMikdash. And so on, he gives different examples that parallel going down to Mitzrayim, coming out of Mitzrayim, and our exile today. Rabbi Leder told me, he said that that's why he thinks Rashi brings a chazal that Goren Ha'atad. Rashi says, what was Goren Ha'atad in last week's parsha? It was that when the Bnei Yisrael were carrying out the Aron of Yaakov to be buried, so the kings of Canaan, the princes of Ishmael, They saw Bnei Yisrael coming and said, okay, we're going to go kill them, we're going to attack them. And when they got there and they saw the crown of Yosef sitting there, they took off their crowns and placed it down. Very strange story. Now you're trying to think, well, what was the point of telling us this exactly? So our leader explained, because that was coming out of Mitzrayim, coming back to Eretz Yisrael, and it was a Maisa Avo Simon Labanim teaching us what it was going to be at the end of the days. Like we say in Aleinu, V'kabu chula mesol machusecha v'simuch aleim mehir alom v'ed, that at the end of days, all the other kings, all the other rulers are going to recognize, they're going to realize that it's Hashem who's the king, that the ultimate kingship is by God, is by the Jewish people, and it's the other nations taking off their crowns and placing it down on Yaakov, crowning Yaakov, Ki'ilu, showing that the kingship is with them. That's how it's going to be in the end of days. So there's a direct parallel. So as we learn through the Parshios now, of Shmos, Ve'era, Bo, B'Shalach, etc., we should keep that in mind to try to see if we could find parallels and lessons from the Gullus in Mitzrayim to the Gullus that we have now, and the ultimate redemption that came out of Mitzrayim to the ultimate redemption that we hope to experience. So I'd like to just share one idea from the beginning of this week's Parsha, that the Beis HaLevi writes in Parsha's Lech Lecha, the Nitziv writes in the beginning of this week's Parsha, the Mariel Diskin writes, all on their own, seem to say the same idea. That is as follows. We know that Yaakov, when he went down to Mitzrayim, like we say in the Haggadah of Pesach, he went lagur sham. He went to sojourn, as they translate, over there. Hang out. He went to hang out. He didn't go lihishtakei Hashem, to be shakua, to be engrossed in Mitzrayim. He went to hang out. He went to a specific place, Goshen, that's where they were going to live. He sent Yehuda down to set up a Beis Medrash, that they'd have a Torah learning, be able to share their values, keep their identity over there in Goshen. That was the way that it was supposed to, things were supposed to play out. But we know, in this week's parsha, all of a sudden the Jewish people, the Mitzrayim start hating the Jewish people and start adding on tons of work and really causing lots of issues, tremendous difficulties for us in Mitzrayim. So what happened that all of a sudden the Mitzrim changed to just having them live around in Egypt to all of a sudden starting to pressure them, starting to subjugate them? What was the turning point? So they point out that it's explicit in the Pasuk. The Pasuk says, "Vatimalei ha'aretz osam," that the simple explanation is that the Jewish people started to multiply, a lot of people, and started to fill up. "Vayakam melech hadash al Mitzrayim," then there was a new king with a new idea, new rules of how he wanted to rule over the Jewish people and hurt them and give them tzaros. So the Netziv points out that the lashon vatimalei ha'aretz osam, that the aretz became full with them, should have been mehem, that they were full mehem from them. The land was full from them. A lot of kids, multiplying, lots of births. It was full from them. What's this lashon of osam? So he explains that the Torah is coming to teach us that it wasn't just that all of a sudden the population of the Jewish people became so great. That's not what the point is. What the Torah is coming to highlight is that, well, till that point, Bnei Yisrael lived in Goshen. They lived in their, you know, bungalow colony. They lived in their community with their people, with their private influences, etc. All of a sudden, they started to buy open houses, the real estate market opening up all over the place in Egypt. They started to move to that place, to this place, to that place, to the extent that the entire Eretz, the whole Egypt that till now was filled with Egyptians, started to fill with the Jewish people. And Osam, he says, is related to the word imam. They became like them. They started to become like the Egyptians. The Egyptians lived over there on that block? Okay, so we'll move to that block. Oh, there's an apartment open over there? Not a single Jew in a 100-mile radius? Doesn't matter. Cheap rent? We're going over there. And all of a sudden, Vatimaleya Aretz Osam, the Jewish people started spreading out from Goshen, and they started to live amongst the Mitzrim. Now, why did they do that? It wasn't just because the real estate was cheap. There was a deeper explanation. And this is what the Netziv speaks out, Mariel Diskinik speaks out. He says that once Yaakov died, they started getting nervous. Because they knew that all of a sudden things might get rough now. So what are you going to do? How are they going to protect themselves? They don't have a Yaakov. Yosef's not around. What are we going to do? How are we going to survive over here? So they strategized that they'll start to become buddies with the Egyptians. If the Egyptians respect them, if the Egyptians like them, if they start to become friendly neighbors with the Egyptians, maybe they'll leave them alone. To the extent that the Medrash says that they stopped performing Bris Milah. Because Bris Milah was the mitzvah, is the mitzvah that clearly segregates us, identifies us as different than the non-Jews. And the Jewish people in Mitzrayim started to feel that the only way they're going to be able to survive this one is if they assimilate, if they integrate well into Egyptian community, into their way of living. And therefore, they also move next to them. Shouldn't just be Goshen living all on her own, separate, distinct, different, look different, act different, speak different. That's not the way. We have to go ahead and we have to try to become one with our Egyptian neighbors. So they started to move there. Not just the Bris Milah, they also started to live with them. And therefore, the next part of the pasuk, Vayakam Melech Hadash al Mitzrayim, all of a sudden, once the Jewish people started doing that, when they started to change their attitude, when they started to assimilate amongst the Egyptians, all of a sudden, things had to change. And the Beis HaLevi speaks out. This was for the benefit of the Jewish people. We thought, oh man, they were so bad. They hurt us. They subjugated us. They really, you know, tortured us. He said that was the biggest bracha that ever happened to the Jewish people. Because once they hated us, so we can never become like them anymore. Right? If someone hates you, you don't want to be like them. And they don't want to be like you. You might stop moving to their block when the people hate you and they're going to torture you every single day. So the response of Vayakam Melech Hadash al Mitzrayim, there's going to be a new king that's going to torture the Jewish people, was a direct response to the fact that Batimalei Aretz Osam, that we wanted to fill our communities, wanted to fill ourselves with the Egyptians, comes along a new king, say, hey buddy, we don't want you. You're not invited. We hate you. And we're going to make you work, and we're going to make it difficult, and we're going to ruin your life. And then all of a sudden, the walls, the barriers are going to be set up. The Mariel Diskin says, in Parshas Lech Lecha, it says, Hashem says, Ki ger yezaracha be'eretz lo lahem. That you're going to be in an eretz lo lahem, an eretz that doesn't belong to you, a land that doesn't belong to you. Then va'avadum va'inu osam. Then they're going to go ahead and afflict you. They're going to go subjugate you. But if you're going to keep yourselves in Goshen, that was a place that belongs to you, then you won't have a subjugation. It's only when you move into the territories that's in Eretz Shelo Lahem, a land that doesn't belong to you, where you're not supposed to be, then there's going to be a subjugation. But if you just stay in Goshen, the land that was designated for you, given to you, the place for you to be, then you wouldn't have the subjugation. And guess what? Shevet Levi, who remained in Goshen, did not have to undergo the subjugation. Isn't that against the rules? Hashem said that all of you are all going to be subjugated. Hashem didn't say all of you. Hashem made a condition. If you go to the Eretz Shelo Lahem, if you go to the land that's not yours, then you're going to be subjugated. But if you stay in Goshen, the land that's designated for you, everything would have been okay. And that's why Levi, who stayed there, was spared of what happened. So we see that the whole impetus for the subjugation, for the difficulties in Mitzrayim to occur, was a response to us trying to adapt to Egyptian society, live with them, look like them, not have bris mila, etc. The response was, Hashem said, I'm going to make it that they hate you. That's a bracha. Okay, it's a bracha in disguise, but it's a bracha, and this way you won't be able to assimilate all the way. Now this clearly, right, is indicative of our galus, the exile that we're in. And this was a strategy that was used for generations upon generations, that people said, if we just start acting like our neighbors, if we start acting like the non-Jews, so they'll accept us, they'll give us jobs. If I don't wear my yarmulke at work, I'll get a better job. If I don't keep Shabbos, I'll be able to keep my job. All of these different things, which were made maybe with even good intentions at the beginning, in order for us to succeed in the Gullus, but all of a sudden things started to peter out, and you're not able to keep our strength. This is something that we have to always check ourselves. Okay, in yeshiva, in the Beis Medrash, sometimes it's easy. In Yerushalayim, sometimes it's easy. In Eretz Yisrael, sometimes it's easy, right? But the question is, what happens when we get outside? What happens when we move out and we're involved with people from other nations, which is the metzias of life? That's just the way of the world, right? So what's going to happen now? We're going to be nervous to go to a business meeting. We're going to be nervous to go for an interview. We're going to be nervous to go here and there because what are they going to think of me? How are they going to treat me, etc.? We have to make sure that we're super strong in what we believe. We have to make sure that we don't allow our guard to go down. We have to make sure that we don't lose focus of what happens. Because as we see, the message of this week's parsha is that the second Matimalei Aretz Osam, Sineva Yaakov Melech Dash, you thought this guy was your buddy, and all of a sudden it wasn't that way. And they tell all these stories of the Germans, the Nazis, who were, you know, so nice to their neighbors and so polite, etc. And then all of a sudden, they were the ones in the concentration camps not being that way. It turns our back on us. Doesn't mean you can't be nice to people. Doesn't mean you can't work with people. But we have to realize who we are, and we have to realize what we believe in and what we stand for. And it's very important that we don't just wait until we're out there and then we say, okay, I'll remind myself, you know, Rossman gave a schmooze about this, I'll remind myself in the future that I should go ahead and do this. It's not good enough. We have to now, every single day, try to check all of our actions to make sure that what we're doing is because we value and we believe that this is the right way to go. Right? Who do we idolize? What makes us excited? You know, a new movie comes out. So, oh, now we're all excited. If that's what gets us going, so then it's the culture of the non-Jews that is motivating us. If when all of a sudden some person walks in the room and, you know, he's a famous actor or famous sportsman, et cetera, and said, oh, I gotta go get the picture, I gotta go. And that all of a sudden you gotta run and we'll push over people to get there and all these things. So, what? You have to stop for a second and say, why How in the world did that happen? Where did I get that value from that that's an important thing for me, that this is something that I want to go for? And we all have it in some place. It happened to me recently. I walked out of the new building. This was the strangest thing in the world. Okay, I walked out of the World Center on floor zero by the Kotel to go to have a mincha. And there were like these five guys doing flips and dancing right in front. And it was coordinated, so I realized there was something going on. And then I saw there was some very tall man with crosses hanging from his ears, and he was also doing like the thing in front of them. So I asked after they were done. I walked out. So I said, "Well, who is this guy?" So he said, "Oh, he's a zamar." He said this to me in Hebrew. He's some Israeli singer. He told me the name. Sorry, I can't remember. And I remember at a certain moment, and all these people like jumping on him and like, doing things with him, and it was really weird, taking selfies, whatever it was. So I remember, like, I was like, "Wow, that was so cool." And I said to myself, "Why was that so cool? That was not cool at all." I don't know who that guy is. I never saw him before. Never will see him before. It means nothing to me. But like for some reason, I just got caught up. Wow, that's cool. It's not cool at all. But we get stuck in these. This is how we were brought up. This is what we get pulled towards. So we have to try to see and try to always reevaluate ourselves to make sure that that's not what's pushing us. That's not what's exciting us. What should be exciting us is the things that we value, the things that we think are really important, that are going to get us close to Hashem, that's going to help us help people, that's going to help ourselves grow. That should be what pushes us. And that should be the only thing that gets us excited. Okay? That's a lifelong growth process to get that. But we don't have to wait till one day, I would have a business interview, should I wear the kippah, should I not wear the kippah? That's for then, and that should be obvious. But the more that we constantly remind ourselves, even for 30 seconds a day, to try to evaluate what's pushing us, what is trying to motivate us, that, in Mirat Hashem, when we get to maybe even tougher opportunities or challenges, we'll be able to stand up to them in the most successful way. So Be'ez Hashem, we should all take time again while learning through these parashios to try to make it very, very applicable to our struggles, our exile today. And then Be'ezras Hashem, as we do that, we will become clearer to those challenges. We'll become clearer to how to overcome those challenges, work through them now, so that Mirat Hashem will all be zocheh to see the Geula. Meir v'meinu, Amen.